Look, we have to learn Tanya. We're in our therapy office today.
Yeah.
But we just want to ask one more question. And it's more of a praise. And it's not chasham for any, hopefully from any not good reason. No agenda why I'm asking this question. I said, we've managed to learn every morning from 7 till 8 almost, from about a month and a half maybe.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. Like, I know, like, we've switched up this time and we're now working out this new schedule, and I'm, you know, it has put of a time crunch on my day a little bit because now I've got less time in the day. But the good news is Mincha Maariv is getting later and later, so then I can get more done in that in between time. So it's actually in a way like good timing the way it worked out with the changing of the clocks and stuff coming up. But just on another sense. That was pretty impressive on your side as well. I mean, for me, I don't have as much going on in America like you do. I do have bookings or whatever, or a few clients there, but you like, mom, you've got a whole business there, so you know, color kavod.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I go to sleep like really late. I work New York hours, and then
you are there every day, pretty much on time, like almost definitely on time, 7 o'clock, and yeah. I'm just saying, like, we shouldn't just. So brush over certain achievements that we managed to learn so much. We did a lot of Kutumara and a lot of Tanya, already in the 13th chapter. And as I said, it was before we started recording, a lot of people are actually listening, much more than I realised. And I shout out to all those people, whoever's sharing it, thank you very much. Because I'd like to hear back from people. I'd like to hear, you know, what Ellie said, and we have to distinguish which Ellie, because there's two Ellies here.
The English Ellie, or the
real English Ellie. The one who's actually got a sense of humour, Ellie. Then if you want to send in, you know, like, you disagree, you agree, you want to sponsor Ellie's business efforts in America, you know.
Sponsor Chillin
for Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So, touch base. Hine, Midas Ahava. So we're still with this Beinani on Perek Shlosha. Now, we need to catch up a little bit of Chaim Miller, his version, because yesterday when we learned, we didn't have him here. And I just want to, I always like to see, I think one of the milers of the way we're learning, because we have a bit more time than most people when they're learning Tanya, is that we've made the time, and that's also a shevach to us both, that when we're learning Tanya, we're seeing not just the lessons in Tanya or one of these old school translations, this edition, or what we've heard from Rabbanim, like Rav Shai Staub, Rav Yehuda Jacobson, Rav Menachem Friedman, and the list goes on, Moshe Wilson, a long list of Rabbanim, probably even Moshe Weinberger. I don't know if he's ever given Shurim and Tanya.
Oh, but yeah, he has.
Yes.
Maybe a year or 2 years long?
Maybe I listened to it.
It's intense, though.
Could be I did. And Rav Shlomo right now is mamish in tune with our learning Tanya in terms of Ginsberg. So we've got a lot of like Torah surrounding us. We've got David Jerome here in the frat. I listened to his show also on SoundCloud.
I started learning there with David Rich.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, he's special. Yeah,
that's good.
He's a real deal. So I also speak to him about business stuff. He's like very, you know, experienced. He's gone through a lot. But back to the Chaim Miller one. I just feel like if we bring in all these different places, then hopefully we're going to get shut, at least as best as we can. We're going to understand what Hashem's wanting us to understand from the Sefer Tanya. Because remember, this is a huge goyim, and he's a huge lamdan, and a huge tzaddik, and he's spent months and months on each word and letter, on every single thing in this Sefer. So it wasn't just written like quickly, or just, you know, you can run through it. It's deep. So what does Rav Chaim Miller say? Because I think it just adds another outlook, and plus he's very universal and academic in his language, even though I don't always like that approach, but I think overall it's been actually really helpful.
Right. I'm just looking through it now. He said what we said yesterday, that how Rab thought he was a Beinoni.
Yes.
As he said, I've never been able to prove that I'm not a Beinoni because I'm under the assumption my Yitzhar is just sleeping.
Yeah.
I mean, animal soul is just sleeping.
You know, I thought of a new shot we touched on yesterday, and I thought of it in a deeper way yesterday, it's coming from a nevus. I really feel...
What you were saying,
you did say that, but I started really feeling it. Like,
right.
Because I often we talk down about ourselves, yeah? Now, obviously, he has self-esteem in a healthy way. It's not like our generation when we talk down on ourselves, it's put lack of self-esteem or whatever, coming from unhealthy places. But Rabbi, I'm sure when he said these things, it's from a healthy anivus, healthy humility. And also, he really deeply felt that way about himself.
Ah, this is the whole other thing.
Yeah.
Ah, so this is the part he then, two wives.
What does that mean?
A two-wife.
Tuaf?
Tuaf is like a yeshivish.
That's a Yiddish. I didn't hear that one so much.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe they said it differently because I've been around on the Siddish Yiddish.
Tuaf. Like Steltzu? Steltzu.
Tuaf.
A Tuaf is like, he like takes it a step further.
Okay, let's hear what the Tuaf is of Rav Chaim Meila.
You know the Yeshivish Array song?
No.
Yeshivish Array, Yeshivish Zach.
Okay. Remember, I joined the yeshiva when I was 19. So I didn't like have that exposure. And then
that's some journeys.
Within a few years, I was already in the Siddusha world. So I didn't like hang out that long.
Charade, yeah. So anyway, so he says here, even if the Beinoni could not achieve deeply, okay, this is just one side thing, they were emotional, like Rabba, he spends the whole time davening. And his internal experience would be indistinguishable from the tzaddik because, right, he would be basically, once he's always learning or davening, his animal soul is asleep. And that is why it says, even if the entire world tells you you're a tzaddik, you should consider yourself like a rasha. What does that mean? Because even if you never experience an urge for sin or self-gratification, you might just be like a beinoni who prays all day, who is indistinguishable from a tzaddik. Meaning, it was like, so it's such an interesting, right? Now suddenly it all makes sense. And what he's saying is like, don't think that you're a baby, not a tzaddik or a rasha. Meaning think that you are, right, I guess that part is a little bit strange because this is the actual word rasha. Then he writes example, beinoni. So, I don't know.
I don't really get much from that, honestly, other than what we learned. It didn't seem like he added.
No, he didn't answer. It doesn't really make sense either because the language is Russia, not Beinoni. If it said Beinoni, it makes sense. It says you should consider yourself like a Russia, not like a Beinoni.
Yeah. It's like a Russia, Ka-Russia.
I think
the challenge is to talk to people like they're Rishoyim is very difficult.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to talk to people that way, especially nowadays, especially the Fi Chassidus was always emphasizing on building people. Musa, no problem, you can call someone a Russia, you call them a Golem, you call them whatever you want. Maybe not the Musa of Yisrael Salant, but some of the names I've heard Choshed people called when they were kids in Cheder and Yeshiva. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever had those names. But,
I was all
the names. Vildachaya.
I was a Mechutzev and a Chutzpanyak.
There we go.
I was both.
I've had that once, actually.
I had Mechutzev and a Chutzpanyak. I was a Vildachaya. Was Chairo.
Someone called me a Mazik.
Mazik, I got
a Rosh Kollel, I got the Mazik one. I was telling him a story about my journey.
Right.
Like, because it was a Parsha, the Fiyah Parsha. I was excited. I was learning at Chumash Rashi about, you know, but not being a Mazik and, you know, all the different things. So I said, I have a story once when I was a Mazik, like as a kid. Like I did, no, I didn't say the word I was a Mazik. I said, when I was a kid, I with a friend, we burnt down this forest in London. Obviously, it was very scary. The police were pursuing us. It was a whole story. Right. This whole big fire engines came and it was a whole thing. We ran away. It was a whole thing. And the Rosh Kollel, instead of like, and I said, it's amazing, like how far I've come now that I'm learning about it in Rashi Chumash. He says to me, it seems to me you're just a Mazik. And I'm like, what? I'm about tshuva, you shmero. Like, like this Rosh Kollel. I was like, do you not get the point of the story? I'm not sitting going around burning forests anymore. Do you not see the chiddush?
Right. So, right, I've been called that.
Bloody Chumash Rashi with you trying to get chizuk from the Chumash, how far I've come. Anyway, this guy just didn't get it. Kofa, you've been called that?
I've been called a lot of things. I don't remember all of them. One time,
we're in the therapy office. So.
Then my principal told me that when I get older, I'm going to end up in jail.
Chas v'shalom.
He said you were going to end up in
this
jail.
This is like the worst hinuch ever. So anyway, Derek Chassidus is the opposite. We're trying to not emphasize the onion of wickedness or Rishoyim. Even the way we learned it, past it very quick. And even then, we talked about the Shoresh Hashchina. So the... And I'm saying how we learned it. Well, the Balatanya really gave a very small amount of writings on the Rishayim. it was all back straight back into the Beinonim. But so then I understand what he's trying to do with Chaim Miller, because it is a focus on the Beinonim, but he does say Karasha. Let's just like put it out.
Right, right.
Because when we do a Veiris, well, we're like Karasha. When we don't manifest a Veiris, we're like a Beinonim. We might still have the Nefesh Bahamas inside of us because we're not doing actual Averis. That's the Nakuda.
Yeah. We'd have to find out why he uses it. But that line is from Pirkei Avos, or from Lamar, that you should consider yourself like a Rasha.
Yeah, Pirkei Avos, which is based on Chazal's explanations, so, yeah.
So there's still what to understand with that.
Sure. And the point is what's clever when you're learning Tanya is it's all has to be consistent with other parts of Torah, which includes also, which is the Chiddush of the Sefer Chassidus, Zohar, Penimis Torah. Has to be consistent with that. It's not just only you're in, like when you're learning Rashitosis, you're in the world of Chazal.
Baal Tanya also, it seems like the Tanya is more of just an introspective experience within myself.
Yeah.
So meaning it doesn't tell me what I'm supposed to consider other people. Like it doesn't give you any instructions on what to think about other people, or how to talk to other people, or
We did say about the Ben Chavero, that whole section in Beinoni, in terms of being able to, how does it manifest as a Beinoni, give a bunch of examples, that we don't get the cast and don't have jealousy. And
right, anger. When we're all together, when there's the Hashras Hashchina, when they have 10 people.
No, that was the end of the one about the Shoyim. I'm talking about for the Beinoni, when he was saying about how our Ben Chavero should also be without Averis. So we. Because he was talking about Ben Olam Ochem.
Right, no, but that's
a connection to the divine service, and then it's talking about how we treat people, and that's to do with our midas, not allowing them to manifest in terms of anger, jealousy, learning to forgive, all these different things.
But that's more of an internal process.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, let's say, like, when you learn the Torah of Nach, when you learn, like, many of the it's almost like you leave and you think about it, you look at everyone and you're like, oh, such a, like, the Levi Yitzchak.
Yeah, the Kudus Tovus.
Everyone's in the Kudus
Tovus. Oh, I hear what you say. It's more inward, the way the Tanya is talking about, whereas...
It's bone in it.
Breslov is talking about outward, how you look at other people.
Right.
But this is I think the point of, and we're going to get there later on in Perek Lamed Beis, funny enough, we say good match Leiv.
Yeah.
From Admiris Domai. Yeah, we're going to get to that Perek Leiv, and we're going to see over there the famous Torah that there is a whole Perek of and a whole focus into Avos Yisrael. How we get to that, how we do help. So I suppose we just have to get to that point where we're ready for it, because it's not straight away in the Tanya. It is more inner work, inner struggle. Especially these chapters are all about the inner struggle.
Right.
So at this point, you're right, but later on, there is a hashlama. He does get into the how we interact with Am Yisrael. Okay, let's go.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
And that was the first Tanya I ever learned in my life. Perek Lamed Beis.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
I was in London with some Chabad
Bachar. Leave. You and Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, there we go.
We're up to Vihine
Vihine.
Midas Ahavazu?
Yes.
Or Vihine's Beshad Tfila. Al Yedei Hizgabas HaNefesh HaLikos, right?
Yeah.
Right, from strengthening Vihine Ligabe Madrigas HaTzadikim Odi Hashem Be'emes La'amitei. Right, we're compared to Ligabe Madrigas HaTzadikim Odi Hashem Be'emes La'amitei. Ain bechinas ahavazu nikres b'shem avodas emes kla.
This is a new step.
This type of love of the Beni could not be classified as genuine worship, right?
So yeah. So
avodas emes kla.
This is one of the issues we have. Like I was just trying to give you some praise or give ourselves some chizuk of what we've accomplished. It's hard to keep the agenda like out of the picture, not have negiyas, not to have, even with all kinds of scenarios. A tzaddik be'emes has emes avoda. When he's doing anything, it's truth, perfect truth.
Right.
It's pure. There's no negiyas bechlau. There's no nefesh bahamas to mix up in it.
Right.
So it's just a pure. This is the only thing when you have to be real with people. Like my wife and I sometimes say, it's really hard to trust anyone nowadays. And if you think about it, there's some truth to that. Why? Because they have a nefesh bahamas. They have their own negiyas. At the end of it, they're going to take care of themselves if they listen to the Nefesh Bahamas, yeah?
Right.
We Nefesh Shalikus, you can do Rotson Hashem, so whatever Hashem says. I'm not going to just take care of what my own needs. If it's Rotson Hashem to help this other person, I'll help this other person. But the majority of people are not always, completely serving Hashem with MS. And I think he's even getting at a higher, higher level. It's true service, this love, it's very pure. I think we need to learn a bit more to understand it, because it's hard to get. These are subtle nuances. Ma'acha shechalefes averes acha tefila. Since it passes and disappears after prayer. Yeah, so that's the problem with the Beinoni. That awareness and awakeness of the Edna Fishalikus is no longer, the Mokin de Gadlis is no longer there. So you've got stuff mixed up in you, man.
What?
And I also do. We've got a Nefesh B'Amos that wakes up and it starts influencing a little bit our avoda. Ksiv Svasem is Tikkun Ad, our Gerlosh and Sheker. The language of truth shall be established forever, but the tongue of falsehood is only momentary. Ooh, that's interesting. It's the other way around now. That pasuk in Mishlei is the other way around. It's like truth is always established, but Sheker is only momentary. But that makes sense, I suppose, in a way. Because, oh, okay, now, if you think about it in the true sense, if you're focusing on the MS, when you're in davening and learning, that's actually who you really are. That's the problem. I personally keep doing that. I keep identifying myself with Nefesh B'Chametz. No, when we're in davening and we're learning, we're actually with the Nefesh Elokus. And that's our true essence. Your true you is davening and serving Hashem.
Right.
In truth, that's who you are, Be'emes. You're in the Neshama. Now, after davening comes this momentary, this transitionary falsehood. That's what's not forever. That part of you, the Nefesh B'Chametz that awakens again, is not forever. The difference with Tzaddikim is they're consistently with truth all the time. It's not this like up and down stuff that we're dealing with. Depending on where you're at. Afal PK and the Gabi Madragas of Beninim, the crime of Vodas Tamar, but MS Lamito Shalahem. Never in relation to the rank of Beninim, this level of love is regarded as a truly perfect service in terms of their level of truth. So within the level of Beninim, this is truth also. It's also a Voda Tama, which is called the perfect service. Each, I don't really like perfect though. When anyone uses the word perfect, I like get nervous.
Well, then Hashem's perfect.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel like it's an emes word to use because of, you know, this Jews have a big Yetzer Hara. I was a big fan of an LCSW called Mordechai Weinberg. I mean, he had anything to do with him in New York.
I feel like I've heard of him.
Yeah, he used to have a show and I was on there once or twice and we have a friendship every so on. We speak by email. But he said the biggest Yetzer Hara for the Jewish people, like in terms of mental, no, he wouldn't use the word Yetzer Hara. So the mental, two things, perfectionism and the mental issues of the Jewish world are basically shortest in two problems. Perfectionism and what's the other one? Where we're overly connected to each other. I think I have a bit with my wife. But it probably could be healthy.
Enmeshment,
but there's another word. Co-dependent. Two things that Jews have massive issues with in an obvious sense. We're overly perfectionist and we're codependent. So we're talking about when he says perfect service, I don't know, I get triggered. Because anything perfection focused can actually make us crazy.
Here he does use that word.
He uses it?
He uses the word ideal.
There we go. Much better.
Then he's loved in prayer, which passes little passes classified as ideal worship.
See, there we go. Chaim Miller helped us today. I prefer, let's use ideal service.
Thank you, Hashem, for Chaim Miller.
Because then I find perfectionism is more of an assign than it's worth using, if you know what I mean. The word perfect is, like you said, there's nothing perfect other than Hashem. So then start having dimyonis, you're perfect. There is no perfect. Ish kafi medregoso medregus urboninim. In each every relative to a standing in the category of the Beinonim, it's surveillance to many levels. So this is, once again, it's really good what the Baal HaTanya does, is he gives us klalim, but then he goes into the pratim and really gives us ability to be nuanced and individual with it, which is much more healthy than just leaving us with these generalizations, which are quite hard to, for each of us on our level and individual situation to apply. Their love to which they possess only during prayer, svas emes tekenah. The language of truth shall be established forever. The love is true and permanent, through though manifest only when during prayer.
Right.
So that's the whole thing. I mean, I don't know why it's only prayer. Why not learning? Why not I don't know, that's the cash a little bit. I mean, we did, I think there was some point someone mentioned the learning as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of the Vreichim, when it had the whole shtickle before about the Beinanim who are learning all day, so it's a bechina of halavai mispalo kol yom, like they're davening all day because right. the Torah is not going out their mouth. But then the rabbi did make a chiluk. Never not learning doesn't mean you're a tzaddik. That was his point.
Right.
It's the concept of being in a state of prayer. For some reason, prayer weakens the nefesh b'hamis to the point where it's you can feel like a tzaddik at that moment. And if you do it all the time, then maybe you are a tzaddik. You know, like one of the explanations of Esther, Malka, and Mordechai, tzaddik, in Purim, is every time they were talking to Ahasuerus or anybody, they were in a state of tefillah. You ever heard that, Perish?
Yeah.
Like yeah. when it says HaMelech, it means real the Melech. They didn't look at Ahasuerus as Ahasuerus. They looked at it as all a talk with HaMelech, with the real boss, Hashem, and they were beseeching Hashem to get rid of the Gezeres. That's literally the conversation they were having throughout the Megillah. It was all a Panemia Savoda. It wasn't an external... I mean, there was the external stuff going on, but that's not the point of it. The point of it was, according to Svarim Panemim, they were having an inner conversation with Hashem the whole time about removing the Gezeres of Haman and Ahasuerus. And they knew that the Shoresh of all the of everything is Hashem, so why talk to these people? They'll talk to them, but the Panemis, the inner state was more concerned with HaMelech, with the king. I mean, it's a very deep way of understanding the Megillah, but the point is that being in a state of tefillah gives you a certain truth that's established forever.
Right.
And that's the true reality of creation, that we're always with Hashem. And Hashem's always the one who's running everything. So really, why waste your time? Like, when you're sending that letter to these people, yeah, for example, you mentioned before, or any kind of business interactions, in the end, when you go back to Davin, then you remind yourself, it's going to be Hashem on the side of their success anyway.
Right.
So in the end, the most important thing is either the tefillahs and the connection to Hashem.
Right, sure.
Since the divine soul has the power to awaken this love constantly, constantly, whenever it gathers strength during prayer, day after day. By means of the spiritual preparation appropriate to each soul's quality and rank. I like this. It's giving us chilukim, like ways to understand this on an individual level. Since the divine soul is a path to awaken this love constantly, when it gets strength during prayer. So everyone Hashem gave us a system, like he put into creation, just like we need to eat and drink and function, survive as a human being. Survive as a soul, we have to daven. That right. gives nourishment to our soul and strengthens our nefesh elikus to the point where we get to a state of emes where that's dominant in completely. And right. through that preparation, yeah, and according to each person's neshama, I like that. Kol nefesh kefi aruchem and drigosa, and his rank. So you're not going to be like Rav Shmaya's tefillahs or Moshe Weinberg's tefillahs right. or Shlomo's tefillahs. You're going to be on your tefillah, on your level, on your Beinani, Eli Shaf, Eli Goldsmith level, and your neshama, the shorish neshama, it's going to be able to do at that moment.
Right, interesting.
And it's the Beinani love of God is thus constant. Since either active revealed state or in potentia, and can be revealed at any moment throughout the day. So remember that we had to talk about the Abbas and Mysteris. You have this hidden love, so any time of the day you can awaken it. How do you awaken it? I don't know, learning, davening, acts of chesed, serious nefesh. The quality of truth you found on every level. Each truth means an essence core of that level. Truth defined as that which agrees with the essence of that particular where it's measured. Okay, that's a deep point in the lessons Tanya just said. Because you said there's the ultimate, there's MS Amito, and then there's an MS according to your state, your reality.
Or Nachman has that.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite important, that little, like,
where is it? Is that definition. The Kutama, or the... Where is that story?
MS Amito?
Yeah.
It's in the Kutamaran.
That's Rav Nosson.
Oh, the Nosson, that's a story in one of the Svarim of Sippurim about Rabbi Nachman. Like biography, like Sikhs of Ran maybe, or would bring the concept, but the actual story is brought down.
That story, okay, yeah.
But in the Kutim Aron, the concept of MS Amito, but that Loshan is brought again and again in the Kutim Aron. So it is a Loshan he uses when he's teaching Torah.
Yeah, because I was one time learning with Weinberg this year.
Yeah, he brings that story, yeah.
Talked about that story. You love the story. In the back
door. You know, it really what it is, like that famous name of the sefer of Michtam Eliyahu, strive for truth. It's that constant journey towards truth. But it's going to be a journey, and it's going to be according to your level.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be according to someone else's truth. So you said, but there's only one truth. No, Hashem is, that's the amazing thing. You know, there's only one truth, like ultimately, but Hashem created individuals, and each one has their own chelik of Torah, their own truth, and that fits into the ultimate truth. It's not a stirrer. It's a little bit profound. My head's hurting actually thinking about it. But the fact that there's so many different levels of truth, like there's like thousands of mashalim just to understand one concept, like Shlomo Melech says. There's levels and levels of truth, and that's okay. We can live in that. Since this is so, all in the myriad levels of spiritual worlds, from the very highest to the very lowest, since the lowest levels are in comparison to the highest. So he asked the question, how can we say the lower grades possess truth? So if you're looking at someone who says he's more lower level soul, I know who that is, but say you have a guy who's a bit more, you know, in the world, you know, like, you know, he's running things in Manhattan, yeah? Yeah, whatever, I don't know. Him, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. So he's very truthful when it comes to politics and facts, and you know, but you wouldn't go to him to ask Psak Halacha or Panemius Svarim, yeah? So he's got his truth, but how can that be, like talking about clarifying the truth about Biden's dementia might be true because it means he shouldn't really be in position of any authority anymore, and that could be true, but it's not a truth compared to understanding Chabad, Panemius, or Psak Halacha. That's a much higher realm of truth. It's a much higher level soul, someone who's dealing with that constantly and guiding neshamas, like Rebbes or something. Yeah, which that each has its own core of truth. Things are true if you agree with the essence of their own level, and untrue if they do not. They need not agree with a higher level to be considered true. Okay, so on that level of truth, Ben Shapiro is true.
Yeah.
In terms of, he's probably one of the most truthful commentators out there, I would say. As a fan of his, yeah, in that space. But I would not put him anywhere near in the rabbi world in terms of truths of Hashkafa, Musa, you know, Hasidus. That's not where he's featuring.
Mm-hmm.
So in his place, it's true, but in the higher realms of souls and neshamas and discussions, his discussion is no longer, like when you had him on the Meaningful People and he spoke about tefillah, it wasn't like the highest level of speech on Avodah Sa Tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
He's still having challenges with that. Maybe he's better now, and Kala Kavadi was able to be open and honest about it.
Right.
That was very truthful that he was honest about and that he struggles with it. But maybe it's improved a lot. You know, he's in a much more Jewish place right now, living in Boca and all that, and being around people like Rav Ephraim Goldberg and other people.
But that's where he lives in Florida now?
Yeah.
So where did he move from, L.A.?
L.A. So he went from L.A. to, I'm sure...
I can imagine that he probably gets death threats daily.
Oh, he has a whole security team and everything.
Oh, he does? He has a security
team? Yeah, proper security, like high level. And they were the ones who informed him about October the 7th. He was in Yom Tov, simple story. Or it was Shmini Atzeres by him. And when he came out of Yom Tov, he said, who informed me? His security team. Because he has to know.
A security team in Israel or in America?
In America. They have to tell him. Maybe he has some here, but I don't know. Why we need them staying here.
Right?
Needs them with him. But
I'm surprised he hasn't moved to Israel yet.
No, he has. Yeah, I heard him talk about it very clearly. I've overly listened to him, just like I used to overly listen to Weinberger.
I can't listen to him. He gives me a headache.
I listen to him. So he's explained that he has so much to do. Because he came to speak in Tel Aviv, and I went to the speech in person. Shlomo was there. Shlomo sent me a nice picture with Ben. And before
was
I moved
recently or years ago?
It wasn't so long ago. About
before the war, you
say. Yeah, way before the war. About a year and a half ago. So I was just deciding to move to Fram when I got that picture from Shlomo, and I thought it was so nice when Shlomo sent me that picture. Anyway, it was like as it was happening, he like forwarded it on to me because he knew I was a fan of Ben somehow. I don't know how he knew. But anyway, and then Ben spoke of that whole thing, and he said he has a mission to do there. Like, it's like, you know, the Rav Weinberg, everyone has their community. He has this media empire. If he moves to Israel, like, he did look into building resources here, but, and I was even, like, sending my CV and saying, like, I'll help you if you want. like I really would be up for it, like someone on that level to come and build an NVIDIA empire, extend it to here, but it hasn't happened. And I think one of the reasons is because they have to keep that pro-American focus.
Mm-hmm.
Once they align completely with Israel, they'll lose a lot of ability to be influential globally.
Right.
It's almost like now they're completely taking sides.
Right.
Why do you think they've left Candace on the team? Yeah, I know this is going off a little bit, but we're talking about Emmas on different levels. So Candace, we know, has got issues with the Jewish people, whether she admits it or not. Yeah, but I've been listening to her quite recently, and people she's associated with, I just get this feeling, like, as much as she says she's got Jewish friends and all this and that, but there's something where she's not tuning into the good of our people, that's for sure. Yeah, she's like getting caught up with people like, she's getting caught up with people like Shmuley Pateach, getting angry with him and all that kind of controversy, and I hate all that stuff. Why are they letting her stay on the team? You know, people have asked that to Ben. Yeah, he's the boss. Him and what's his name, Jeremy, can just get rid of it. So the answer is, I think, because I said this to Rav Shlomo when he mentioned it in the car one time with Rav Shlomo Katz, we were discussing about her, and he's like very upset with her. And I said I think that they need to keep the broad appeal. That's their agenda.
So but that's, they can't just be one sided.
And if he moved to Israel and built that a branch here, it would carry over that's what's happened.
Interesting.
That's my feeling.
All right, in my last thought.
Because in the end, it's an American company. Mashiach. Yeah, we need Mashiach. I think ultimately everyone's going to have to do that, Biro, and actually just choose, our people or the world. It's like, it's going to come to that point. And really what it doesn't mean, we're not going against the world, we're just being the best we can be as Jews, which means to just totally focus on our MS and not be like all this watered down, trying to like fit in with the world. But it's complicated, I'm not a business owner like him, so I don't have those kind of tests. It's easy for me to talk, because she has a big influence, so it's a big cheshbon to get rid of someone like that. Maybe he hopes he keeping her there will keep her in a at least somewhat positive direction towards this subject, I hope so. Kihina midas emes, he midas asher Yaakov nikra bereach ticha and bereach min. The Havdil from that whole conversation, for truth is the attribute of Yaakov. We're about Titan Emes Yaakov. You gave truth to Yaakov.
He has a whole little write up here.
Go on then.
He writes, according to Kabbalah, biblical stories are not merely a historical instructional narrative. They depict the emergence of fundamental spiritual energies.
Great.
The patriarchs, for example, were not merely individual significance, they were embodied a paradigm.
Paradigm. I like that word.
New
paradigm.
Way of living, which influences us all. So Yaakov is the of Emes. Was called an honest man. It brings the pasuk.
Titan Emes Yaakov.
Right. Titan Emes. It says here Yaakov, whose mouth was constantly with his heart, not attuned to dishonesty.
Wow. Yeah, because Esau was the opposite. He knew how to speak good, which is a lot of the world out there, the whole media world. It's like they speak one thing, like Biden or whatever, but inside their heart, there's something else.
Right.
There's never like that true, as it said, Tocho Kaboro, like the inside is like the outside. Most people are not like that.
Right, and then he says that Avram is benevolence and Yitzchak was restraint.
Yeah.
Because Avram's benevolence is spirit is crucial for mankind, but if overdone will lead to the support of unworthy causes.
Yeah.
I mean, Avram was just like, you needed more than that because it was just supporting, which is why you see, it's almost like why the Muslims believe that Avraham Avinu is their Zaydi too.
Yeah, they do.
Because in that way, he was just this.
Well, Yishmael, he was the son of Avraham.
Right, but I'm saying that it also fits within the Torah of Avraham Avinu.
Sure.
And then it says Yitzchak causes self.
I went to Muslims' houses and they used to do very good achnasas ochi, I'm not going to deny.
It causes self.
Brought out this giant fish. Literally. I went, they literally cooked a fish just for me coming around.
Wow.
Now they went on, I don't know if I even ate it, but then they ended up putting a video on trying to brainwash me to join Islam, so then that wasn't a good part of the meal.
Right.
But I'll never forget that.
To see what non-radical Islam is like. Such a thing exists.
Yeah, it does.
Like the whole world is just
radical. You know who was talking a lot to those kind of guys? Port Jordan Peterson. He was talking a lot to those people. Before this war happened, and there was suddenly a much stronger divide and more fear amongst the Islam world to speak in the more middle way,
I think
he was having a lot of conversations with
radical Islam,
more moderate Islam. That's the problem. Yeah, they're scared.
People, like, the world is so blind. It's so insane. Like,
but Peterson was trying to build an alliance with those guys.
Like, they just came in now in Haiti or South Africa. It's like this shit.
Shlomi Zion is trying to build an alliance with one of them. One of them's gone. We don't even know where he is. That famous Muslim that he's pictured with, you know, right, in Saudi Arabia, he's gone missing.
So Sunni, what is it, the Sunni and the Shiites and the Thinkies?
Yeah, some are more radical than the others.
So anyways, it causes self-sanctioned immorality and addiction.
Yeah, so that's the problem. When it's the pasolus of it, the negative part, where it goes too far, the chesed.
Right, the chesed, right. Isaac's path of restraint resolves many of these issues.
Yeah.
But also has the side effects of rigidity, harshness, and obsessive compulsive behavior.
There we go.
I mean, he's bringing it down to the real MS here.
Yeah.
Yaakov's paradigm aims to selectively apply chesed and gvura.
Yeah, Avram and Yitzhak to the
benevolence and restraint.
That's why it's called the chosen of the Avas.
Has to be optimized their virtues and eliminate undesirable effects. This is the path of truth.
Right.
Truth media. Since we have Elif. Since we have seen truth is synonymous with sustainability and the elimination of undesirable effects makes a project sustainable.
Yes.
The pilgrim we see the Yaakov's path was completely sustainable and that all his children continued in his faith. In contrast,
why are we outsourcing this right now?
All right, now
you're outsourcing it. I see you outsourcing it. Come again.
We sold. For me to reach
We're outsourcing this. So I just want to say, the middle bolt which secures everything from end to end. That was the next part. We didn't translate that. Nikra briach atichah mebriach mina ketzer ketzer. We just had this in the Mishkan in Shmos in Pastor's Truma, and it's I think brought in Biako again as well. This briach atichah, this middle bolt which goes all miraculously goes around the whole tabernacle. That is connected to the concept of emes. Because it just as the middle bolt is the middle cav. What's the middle cav? Remember we talked about kavim the other day? There's branches. We said the gevura is shoreshed in bina. It's all the cav of the left cav. The right cav is chesed, netzach, chochma, chesed, netzach.
That's why you see sometimes the picture of the Mishkan has like a whole circle around it.
Oh, so tichon, that bar that goes and brings all the boards together,
right,
and it miraculously goes round, it turns round.
Right.
They don't even need to bend it or do anything, it just naturally, when they put it inside, it would go all the way around through the holes, all the way around and bring it all together. It's a miraculous thing, Derek Nays. And that represents the kav, the emsoi, this middle branch. What's this middle branch? It's kesa or das. Das. Teferis, which is MS, which is at Yaakov's Midah, and then Yisod Malchus. That's the middle calf. Yeah?
Right, interesting.
So that's Yaakov Mina's middle calf. So that's the idea that's drawing everything together.
Right, it says here, in Kabbalah, Tabernacles, perceived as a grand map of the cosmos and the psyche.
I like that.
like Cosmo Kramer.
I need to learn to speak a little bit more like this kind of...
Right, Cosmo Kramer.
No, but if I started speaking like that, would be being me.
Right, the tabernacle, central bar, symbolized.
He's actually English, kind of, Miller.
So. Yeah?
Yeah.
Jacob's paradigm of truth. Since it is the only structural thread running throughout the entire tabernacle. The hallmark of MS, then, is an all-pervasiveness expressed by sustainability under all circumstances.
Yeah,
it's a lot of words. The MS, right? MS is what really runs as a common thread. MS is,
and it's on all levels of life. That's one of the beautiful things. This is where Balei Tshuva, people that get misunderstand Yiddishkeit,
right,
when they go to MS.
Too much MS.
Yeah, it's like the Kotzko was like MS Adasof, right, but it meant no one could be around him, and he couldn't be around people anymore.
Right.
So obviously that's a sadix the sign with MS, but us people, we can be too emistic where we're, but it's true, you say to someone, but they're like, yeah, but you just ruined your marriage.
Right. Do you like this dress? No.
Like, so what? It's true, but it's not the what Hashem wants. Suffer. It's not true on the level of that person. That person, you needed to just give them chizuk and thank and appreciation. Kihein Amidas Emes in Middle Yaakov, Ad Niko Abriach Tikon, Briach Mina Katsa La Katsa.
Wait, where do we go now?
Merom Hamalas.
Merom Hamalas.
In the spiritual terms, Madregas Ad Sov Kol Dargan. So this is what we just said. That from the highest graduation level to end of all grades. It goes every on all the levels, this Emes. In each graduation level, it passes through the central point of this particular. So the middle calf, it goes through everything in creation.
Right.
In the end, everything has that calf. Right. Creation doesn't exist without this middle calf of MS.
Interesting.
If something is completely sheker, it would stop existing. You understand? Hmm. The only thing that gives it existence is it's connected to some nekuda of MS. Shehi, nekudas, bechinas, midas, MS, shalah. Which then becomes the point of quality. We'll just finish off the chapter.
Yeah.
We're almost there. She nekudas bechinas midas emeshala. That which then becomes the point of quality of the standard, the level of truth.
Right.
Midas emes hi nachla bli meitzarim. Yeah. The attribute of emes is an unbounded inheritance.
Yeah.
Bli meitzarim. There's no meitzarim. Just like Shabbos is bli meitzarim. Nachshavah bli meitzarim. We're tuning into this time where there's no restrictions, no limitations. It's a Uferatz, that just spreads out. Ein la shia lamala ad rom hamalas. It has no upper limit to the highest levels. Kol malas hamadrega shamatahem, k'ain the gabi malas hamadrega shalamala mehen. And all the lower graduation levels are nothing compared with those superior to them. So truth is on all levels, despite their disparity. You must conclude the standard truth on each level is relative to the core of that level. Support for this statement, the lower levels grades are incomparable to the higher ones. Because he has to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with these lower levels now? Because it does seem there's massive difference in the truth of the higher worlds and the truth of the lower worlds. You do a chayin, shebechin is rosh, chayin is, remember we learn it's Kabbalah. Yeah, chochmed to malchus, we learn that. You do a chayin, shebechin is rosh, amokin, or medregis tachtonim, hein lemata bechin is ikvayim, ragle medregis elyonim mehen. It's known to those familiar with Kabbalah that the quality of the head and intellect, the highest level within lower grades, is inferior to the soles and feet, the very level in the highest grades.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's deep. Can you explain that?
It's deep stuff.
The idea, the quality of Rosh, the highest level within the lower grades. Here we go. If you have, I've got this now, there's a show. The Chochmah of Malchus, let's just label it. You get what I'm saying, Chochmah of Malchus? Malchus Olam Atzir, Chochmah of Olam Atzir, of this world. The biggest chachamim of this all, you take an Einstein, yeah? You take Albert Einstein, Oppenheimer, one of these dudes, yeah? Just won a lot of Oscars, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Take Oppenheimer, he's the chacham of Olam Asiyah. A genius in physics and everything. That's all this world. Yeah. Now you take Moshe Rabbeinu, whose chachma goes all the way up to Olam Briya, yeah?
Right.
Who's, and if you're talking now about the Malchus, the Bria of Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding, his Malchus,
mm-hmm.
is who's on a higher level? The Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu's Olam HaBria, which is the lowest level of Malchus the Bria, Malchus of the Olam HaBria, which mm-hmm. is where Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach. And you could take the level of this Oppenheimer, Chochmah, or Einstein, Chochmah the Asiyah, of the Olam Asiyah, who's on a higher level?
Right.
So it sounds like if you. Chochmah is much higher than Malchus.
Right, but we talk in terms of MS.
But not in that world, in that realm of Bria. Bria is way above Olam Atzir. So once you've added that Nakuda that you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's shorished in the Olamas of Bria, in his wisdom and his Malchus, that's way higher than even the biggest Chochmah of Olam Atzir. Because
mm-hmm.
it depends on which plane, which shoresh is where. So even if you're talking the hill steps, the lowest level of Bria is still way, way, way above the highest level of Asir. There's a whole world in between, Yitzir. Yeah, there's a whole world of formation in between. Creation is way higher than action. Mm-hmm. The world of Machshava is way higher than the world of action.
Ragli achayas keneged kulam.
Let's see what he says.
Let's contribute to all them.
Marazal ragli achayas keneged kulam. The feet of the highest surpass all those lower level than them, including the highest degree of the lowest levels. So that was deep when he quoted the Gemara in Chagiga, the idea that the feet of the highest, these are the angels, surpass them. Because you have to understand, highest are the holiest of the angels.
Right.
That's basically what it's saying. So even the feet of those angels is higher than the heads of all the other angels below that. Because the Chayas, from what I remember, is shorished in the Olam HaBriya. And the other angels is sourced where? In Olam Yetzirah. So who's on a higher level? The Chayas are way higher. Where do we talk about the Chayas in Davening? In Birkas Kriyas Shema. Right. What Olam is that in terms of Tefillah? In terms of Tefillah, it's Olam HaBriya. You hear how there's a system here? When you're saying Chayas HaKodesh in Tefillah, you're in that place of Briya.
Wow.
That's the level of the level. When you go up
Keter.
No, not in Keter. You're not in Briya, in Birkas Kriyas Shema. When you're in Pazuka de Zimra, which is the Olam of the lower angels,
okay. That's
Olam Yetzirah.
Ah.
So each different part of Tefillah is a different Olam. That's why the goal is to get to Atzilus, to get to Shemoneh Esrei, which is in front of Hashem Mamish.
Mm.
And then you bring that down through the last three parts of Tefillah. You go up three levels, like you walk three steps. Parts of level, Korbanos, Pazuka de Zimra, Birkas Kriyas Shema, that would take you those three levels through Atzia, Yetzirah, Briya, and then you're in the world of Atzilus, Shemoneh Esrei. So the highest who we mentioned in Davening in Briya are higher than the angels that are praising Hashem and the Olam Yetzirah. We don't mention them in Pazuka de Zimra, but they're hinted there. Like, for example, on Shabbos we say Chayal Amin. Shabbos is a more revealed level. What's that? That's the song of the Malachim. But it's not the level of the Chayas. The Chayas is up in the Briya.
Chayas are higher than that.
That's higher. That's the Kodosh, all that stuff.
All right.
And that's why even their feet are on a higher level than the angels. I'm not saying everything I said was Emes Amito, because
we're going to Chazar tomorrow.
I think so. And then we'll start chapter 14, Mr. Shem.
Which
is a big step forward.
Oh, Mama! Yom Tov. I'll see you later.
Good thing my head's actually hurting. That's a good thing.